but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. Now, built by High Caliber Millwrights, in for John Canzano, here's Judah Newby and Stephen Vaughn with the Bald-Faced Truth.
But since we're in Vegas, you know, it seems like the right time to say it. As you know, our theme for this team is double down, right? We have done an unbelievable job of building this team over time. You look at our success season to season, and as this team has grown, the process works. You know, we're close, and we've been able to accomplish a lot. So that's really what's going to feed our program this offseason, and will feed us into fall camp is believing in the process that we have. We got great buy-in from our players. It is a cast of new characters. You're going to see new people on the field, which is exciting. I'm very excited about this team. You know, going into the offseason, we felt like we had to take an opportunity to really develop leadership. We did that through a leadership retreat. We've done that through focusing on our DNA traits that have always been a big piece of our program. And continue to see our team grow in that area, you know, whether it's connection, whether it's growth. When you see our team play, you're going to see a team that plays with toughness. You know, I know a year ago we got asked the question, are we tough enough to be in the Big Ten? I think that we were able to answer those questions on the field last year.
Well, talking season is just about wrapped up. We're about to see these teams on the field and really pumped about Oregon's 2025 expectations and thoughts. Judah Newby, Stephen Vaughn, in for Canzano today, 7:50 The Game in the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Network statewide. One of our favorite guests to talk to is the former Duck quarterback and longtime radio analyst, Mike Jorgensen. Jorgie joining us to kick off Hour 2. Jorgie, welcome to a new season of Ducks football, my friend. How are you?
Long time no speak, Judah. Thanks for having me on. And really also appreciate you playing that Coach Lanning spot right there. Just that said a lot of the things that we're probably going to talk about here today. I'm glad he covered all those things, and he's spot on, obviously. I mean, he knows his team like anybody does. But anyhow, it's football season, right? I mean, it's college football. There's nothing like it. And I'm just fired up.
It's great. It's great. And I always like to talk to you. It's impossible for me to talk to you and not have a smile on my face, Jorgie. That's one of the reasons I love bringing you on, the enthusiasm that you bring. And what year is this going to be for you in the booth with Jerry?
37. How about that?
Oh man.
Isn't that crazy? Oof. I know. 39 for Jerry. I mean, he's going into his 39th year. And I mean, we just recounted last night at a sponsor event how many ice cream bars that he's eaten on road trips. If we go an average of 6 per trip, you know, 6 games, 36 a year, times, let's just round it up to 40 years. That's like 1,400 ice cream bars over his career. So we did the math quick last night and had a little bit of fun with it. So
that sounds great. That would be, if that was its own social media channel, I would subscribe. I would like and subscribe to that right there, the Jerry and Jorgie ice cream ventures during a football season. By the way, what have you made of the road trips you've gotten to go on so far? And you're going to get to go to a few new ones this year, too?
Yeah. I mean, two new states for me this year with Pennsylvania and New Jersey, and those things only 2 weeks apart. So those will be, you know, probably the longest trips I've taken in my career of doing this broadcasting, let alone as a player way back when. We just didn't travel to places like that. And, you know, last year's venues that we went to in the Big Ten Conference, we'd been to before. It had been a while, but we had been there before. And so, you know, that was kind of neat to revisit those and see what they've done to the venues and how the campuses have changed in those cities. Some of them haven't changed in the Midwest. I mean, they look like they did 30 years ago, they look like they did 100 years ago, some of them, but it was neat to go visit them and particularly to be able to make that Big Ten championship game and play in Indianapolis and play inside that facility and that type of deal. You know, Coach Lanning's planning that I think went into playing Purdue, where we stayed in the same hotel for the Purdue game in Indianapolis as we did for the championship game. It was familiar territory when that team got there later in the year. So always fun to visit some places. You know, we'll go to Iowa this year. That was the very first game I was part of back in 1989. So it'll be fun to get back there, a place I haven't seen in that long. But, yeah, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, it'll be interesting to see and looking forward to those. Really excited.
That's amazing. What do you remember from the 1989 Oregon Ducks-Iowa Hawkeyes game?
Well, I can remember that I don't think a lot of people would have thought Oregon was going to go there and just clean house against Iowa. Lattenberry out of Portland, Milwaukee High School, I think he was one of the players. Derek Lavelle, Bill Musgrave. You know, that whole team went there and showed up, and I don't remember the score, but I want to say it was like 44-6 or something like that.
You they nailed it. That's exactly the score.
Yeah, they just routed them, and it was really neat because we went there, and again, for Oregon, that's a huge game, and for Iowa, I think they had Oregon coming to town, and it kind of took that attitude towards it, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. Jerry makes fun of me because there were some I have some bad habits, Judah, during football games. When big plays get ready to come along, sometimes I'll turn and look away. Or in the case at Iowa, it was a big play in that game. I don't know if it was a big fourth down play or whatever it was. But, you know, Jerry went to me to get some color commentary, and I was hiding underneath the desk. And it's just, it's the fan in me. I mean, I try to be professional, but geez, I bleed green and yellow just like anybody else does and understand when a big play is getting ready to happen. And so now I can just look away, listen to Jerry, and then look up at the replay. Back then we didn't have replays, so right. I can cheat a little bit now. So
that's great. All fun. You still feel it, you know, now just like you did when you were starting it. That's the passion that you can't simulate. Hey, I'm curious, by the way, you mentioned that attitude from Hawkeye fans all the way back in 89, the Oregon team. You know, things are different. The brand of Oregon is so it's at a level now that it's not reached before. It's at peak levels. But was there any, you know, semblance of that attitude from Big Ten folks that you were around last year too? Like, did Oregon have to earn any more Big Ten respect last year that they might not have gotten early on?
No, not at all. The intrigue is completely different. You know, the way that Oregon's performed really since that year, 89-90 is when they really began to, you know, kind of turn things completely. There's just a whole new respect over the last two or three decades of this Oregon program, what they've accomplished, what they continue to accomplish. You know, the uniforms and things like that, yeah, they're flashy, but at the same time, you know, the amount of, well, I just sit there and I look at the amount of student athletes that play on the football team right now that, you know, some of them were Oregon fans, you know, 10, 15 years ago because of DeAnthony Thomas, who we saw last night, and some of those other players that just made that team and Chip Kelly's teams fun to watch and huge fans across the country. And now there's an intrigue when Oregon comes to town. You know, they fill the stadiums, I think, like we used to, that we would fill the stadium, you know, 30, 40 years ago based on the opponent that was coming, not necessarily because of your own team. And that's the way it feels now when Oregon goes on the road. It's really fun and a real blessing and an honor to be part of it.
Talking to Mike Jorgensen, Jorgie, radio analyst with Oregon Duck football. Going to be another really fun season. So I don't know how you do this, Jorgie, but in the summertime when we're kind of pining away for football and we're just, it's June, then it becomes July, and we're just like, when is fall camp going to start? And then there's media days. And I feel like media day is a mini Christmas of sorts because it signals to me as a football fan that we could talk about the upcoming season for real. But then August comes around, Jorgie, and it feels so long. You know, August, like, yeah. You're kind of riding the wave of emotion, anticipation. How do you pace yourself in a fall camp from mid-July to the start of the season, knowing that the season is coming, but you're also, you know, you can't get too excited too early because it takes a while for week one to actually get here.
Yeah, it does. You know, with this transfer portal and everything else that's going on in college football right now, I mean, it does take some time to get ramped up. You see people either on the team that have been here before switch numbers, or you just see new numbers altogether with a different body in them. And so you got to get ramped up on that when you get a chance to go to practices and that type of deal. You know, you mentioned media day mid-July. I mean, when did it used to be mid-July? And then all of a sudden now football begins in mid-July, it seems like, from a standpoint of practices and everything else. I mean, I used to go on vacation and then come back in August and go to media day. And, Now, if I go on vacation in mid-July, I'm late. And so a lot of things have changed, but it's just one of those ones where you just got to pace yourself. You just got to really pace yourself and try to absorb what you can. And I love listening to the different, you know, radio shows when I'm up there in Portland, to listen to you guys. And when any type of college football talk comes on, I like to be able to switch over and listen to, you know, JC and everybody else that there is, and on XM or whatever else it might be. You just absorb it, begin to absorb it, and it starts to stick. And then you go get a chance to go out and watch practice and get excited. Get excited about this talented freshman group that's young and hasn't played. You get excited about the quarterback room and the defensive ends that are on this team and the depth that is beginning to develop and that type of deal. You just go out just one step at a time, and, man, time flies, and before you know it, late August is here and kickoff at Austin Stadium.
Yeah, just 8 days away from Montana State. We had a Montana State beat writer on yesterday to get the early look at the Bobcats, and looking forward to that one on Saturday next week. So you've been at some practices. You've gotten the vibe check at fall camp. What kind of words come to mind to describe what you've seen on the practice field so far in August?
A high level of talent, new talent that has come in. You know, from a standpoint of the young guys, it's a really talented group, but unproven. And there's something to be said about that. I mean, I agree with the comments that Coach Lang has made. It's great to have a lot of returning starters, but he would rather have new guys with a lot of talent than, you know, a bunch of returning starters that are average talent, because you can coach them up and the long term is going to be high level for a long period of time. But, you know, you look at some of the guys and the names that get thrown out there. One of the main ones, DeCorian Moore, and wide receiver coming in as a true freshman. And that one of the big advantages of a guy like that is he's here in the spring. So he's able to get 15 solid practices in, be able to learn the offense, learn what you're supposed to do, get in rhythm with the quarterbacks. And now he looks like a veteran out there, other than we'll see what happens when, you know, there's 55,000 people in the stands or more as they play throughout the season. That changes things a little bit too. But one thing that's just really jumped off the charts is the talent and just the team speed. It just continues to have talented guys that come in that are ready, made to play. You know, 30, 40 years ago, it would take 2 or 3 years to get guys up to that level. And every once in a while, we'd have an Anthony Newman come through, you know, that was ready to play right off the bat because he was like the guys are now. But it's just really fun to watch. And you end up kind of finding your favorites where you go, God, I really like what that guy does. I like how he plays. Or I like the fact that in a blocking drill, a wide receiver starts a fight, you know, type of situation. You just, those are the type of things where you get excited about people. But, you know, the other thing about it is you go out there and you realize how much high-level production on offense in particular is not there this year. Dylan Gabriel, Tez Johnson, Terrence Ferguson, Trayshawn Holden, Jordan James. I mean, there was a ton of production with those guys. And so, you know, you plug in maybe Kenyon Sadiq to one of those alphas right there, and then you've got a bunch of blank spots as to who the next alpha is going to be. And they're there. They just don't know they're alphas yet until they get into games, and that's why we need to get playing these games.
Did you ever get involved in a little fall camp scuffle?
No. I was smarter than that. I would have lost every one of them. Some of these other guys, they can win. I would have lost those.
I'm curious. How did where did Coach Brooks come out on that? He like a little bit of spice in there, or try to hold?
Yeah, absolutely. He did. Then he'd send you up the stadium steps 5 or 6 times after you got it out of your system. You know, like a hockey fight, right? Let them beat each other up till they're tired, and then send them to the penalty box. And the penalty box for Coach Brooks was the stairs all the way to the top of the stadium. So, yeah, good times.
Good price to pay. We're talking to Mike Jorgensen, former Duck quarterback and longtime Duck radio analyst. You're a quarterback. You got a quarterback eye. What do you see in Dante Moore? What do you expect out of this guy?
You know, he's a guy that he's a good athlete. I think it's always good if you can have a quarterback that can threaten you with their legs, because it just seems like when you can't, you're maybe playing with one arm behind your back, unless the quarterback is really efficient or protection is unbelievable, which has been the case for the last 3 years for the quarterbacks at Oregon. But it's one of those ones where he can make any throw. He can make the deep throw. He can make the short throw. His arm angles, the velocity on the ball. everything that goes with it. He just looks so much in control and in tune with what's going on. And it helps certainly to be in a program for a full year like he was last year, being able to play a little bit, watch what Dylan Gabriel does, and then to be able to kind of step into it this year. And, you know, he hasn't been named as a starter yet, but I'd be surprised if he's not. But he has the tools. He has the tools to be able to lead this team, and, you know, they just are going to have to mature quickly before they, you know, head to the whiteout in Penn State at the end of September. And they'll get a chance to with Montana State and Oklahoma State and even at Northwestern where they will be favorites. They can't take that attitude into those games, obviously, but that's the opportunity, I think, that, you know, if Moore ends up being the starter, he's got all the tools to be able to get it done, and I think people are going to be excited to watch him play.
It's a common refrain, you know, out here on the radio show with the audience, you know, can they get off to a faster start this year than they did last year? No one really saw the Idaho game coming from a standpoint of being heavy favorites and having that be a three-point game midway through the fourth quarter. Or in some degree, the Boise State game, where you needed a handful of big-time special teams plays just to win that game barely at home. Turns out Boise was pretty darn good, with a pretty darn good running back that we found out about. But when you think about the early season this year, and you mentioned kind of Penn State in late September, that's going to be its own test. But even before that, this team has got some new faces, new pieces, new quarterback. You know, what are you looking forward to with this Montana State game early, the Oklahoma State game after that, obviously the Beavers coming in, and a Northwestern conference game, a road game at Northwestern kind of sandwiched in around that. What are you looking for with this team early in September prior to the Penn State road trip that you may not have seen early in the season last year?
Just the consistency, and I think, as you mentioned it, the way they played against Idaho and even against Boise State early on, the miscommunication, it seemed like, at the line of scrimmage with Dylan Gabriel as the new starting quarterback, not a new starting quarterback by any means, as he ends up, what, the NCAA leader in starts for a quarterback and topped Bo Nix's record the year before. So you had two guys that had started 120-plus games in their career, but, you know, Dylan Gabriel hadn't been in the system before. And so sometimes those checks, even with a Josh Connerly or some of the other guys of the offensive line, when you have a new quarterback making certain checks, there was some confusion. And Idaho caught them off guard a little bit and had some pretty good pass rushers. They had really high-level players in the right positions for that type of situation. But you know what? Nobody expected that to be a close game, and it was. And so was the Boise State game. And so to me, Dante Moore, if he ends up being the starter because he's been in this system, is going to be a big difference maker, along with Lalaulu, who's a returning center. To me, those are the two positions that you want to see returners on the offense from year to year, because they're the guys that control the calls. They're the guys who come up to the line of scrimmage and basically look at the defensive front and the defensive secondary and then call the protection and the plays and whatever else happens from there. So you've got two guys that have been in the system at least two or if not 3 years in Lalaulu. So that helps, I think, with it right there. And then it's just going to be not forcing things if they're not there. You know, listen, every once in a while, Montana State, who was the FCS runner-up last year, is going to make some plays. They got some pretty good guys that play at that particular level. And so they're going to make some plays, probably try to confuse Oregon a little bit, but you just got to stay patient. If it's not there, you don't force it. And when it is there, you take advantage of it. Oregon's offensive line is going to be good again, but they've got to get in their own rhythm. The communication piece of it is a huge deal when you've got new offensive linemen, and they do. So it's going to be one of those ones where patience, let them go, get going. I think they'll start a little bit quicker this year. It just feels like to me they're probably going to need to before they get to, you know, Penn State at the end of the month, but they've got some really good, tough games in between. Montana State's not going to come here and roll over. Neither is Mike Gundy with his, you know, with his mullet and everything else that goes with it for Oklahoma State. I mean, I'm really looking forward to those guys come to town because they've traditionally been really good teams. And Northwestern's going to be tough to play in Chicago, long trip. And then the Beavers, I know they want to, you know, get after Oregon. They always do in the rivalry game. So you got to take care of business. I think they've got the right guys in the right positions, but it's that production at the wide receiver running back position that they're going to have to replace, you know, pretty quickly, because they really, other than Kenyon Sadiq, they really don't return a bunch of alphas, and those guys are going to have to become alphas in a quick, in a short period of time. So,
on the other side of the ball, you mentioned some of the DNs that are exciting. I had a lot of fun watching this unit last year, but Derek Harmon goes to the NFL, as does Jamari Caldwell and Jordan Burch. Mateo is still there, Georgie. I can imagine if you're an analyst up in the booth, it's nice to have someone that looks like Mateo Uiagalelei, because he's easy to spot. You'll be able to see that number 10 jersey floating around the line of scrimmage, and chances are he'll be making a lot of plays this season. What do you make of year three Mateo and that group up front?
Well, I'll tell you, Mateo, I'm glad you mentioned a couple of players right there at the beginning with Jamari Caldwell and Derek Harmon, because they disrupted things so much last year for opposing teams. I think Derek Harmon, if I'm not mistaken, had the most quarterback pressures of any interior defensive lineman in the country last year. And so that flushes a quarterback out of the pocket, you know, allows guys like Uiagalelei and Tuioti to mop up on the outside. So they're not only really good players, obviously, but they benefit from the inside guys. And, you know, this year it's Bear Alexander, Amari Washington, I think have an opportunity to be very similar to what we saw in the interior last year. But I really look forward to watching those guys play, because Mateo has just perfected his craft as to, you know, rushing the quarterback and yet not over, you know, taking a bad angle and making a bad situation worse on a run play. He knows what he's doing out there. He's teaching the young guys, Tuioti as well. I think a guy that you're really going to enjoy watching this year, that didn't play a ton last year but was right on the cusp, is Blake Purchase. He's a step faster, step quicker. Everything looks different about him, including the number. He's number 9. He was 17 last year. But wait till you see Blake Purchase play. I mean, they've got depth at that position, which certainly helps. And really, that's what I feel like they're doing on that defensive side of the ball right now, is get some really good transfers that have come in. Theron Johnson and Thieneman at the safety position. He's a really good player. But now they're beginning to develop that depth that you have to have in this league that's very physical. You got to have 18, 19 guys on each side of the ball that can contribute and contribute at a high level. So I'm excited to see those defensive ends. And obviously, Bryce Betcher's always fun to watch. I mean, hometown guy here in Eugene, walk-on originally. How can't you love the guy that's just risen up through the ranks and a tremendous baseball player, too? There's just a lot to like about this defense. It's going to be fun to watch.
Now, you've got such a great job, Georgie, to be able to call these games and be at Autzen on Saturdays, be on these road trips, and you wouldn't trade it for the world. But I encounter a decent amount of college football fans that are saying, hey, it's just a different sport. You know, it's just a different game than it used to be. I don't relate to it the same way that I used to. You mentioned this is year 37 for you behind the mic. You've seen a number of iterations of the sport of college football and Oregon Duck college football. Are you still relating to it with the same kind of, you know, the enthusiasm you've always had? But what do you all have any of those conversations with people sometimes? They're like, the game is just not what it used to be, and portal this and NIL that, and I just don't love it in the same way that I used to. Where do you come out on that in those conversations?
You know, there's the purists, and then there's those that will accept change. And I just think in business, which obviously I've got a full-time job and this is not it, change happens. Change is part of life these days. And, you know, and that's been that way, obviously, with football. There's been a lot of changes to it. And I sometimes, you know, in the off season think, geez, you know, I feel like I'm missing something here. I don't talk the language, or I don't get a chance to get into film room with coaches in the days of Rich Brooks, Mike Bellotti, and that type of deal, where you can sit in on some of the stuff and be able to see what they're thinking about and why formations are set up the way they are. But, you know, one thing as a broadcaster, Judah, that doesn't change for me is I still look at things like a quarterback from the press box instead of obviously ground level on the field. You know, I know where my eyes go. I know where quarterbacks' eyes still go and where they're coached to go by an offensive coordinator. So I still approach it that way, looking at the defense, making sure offense is in the right way. You can anticipate sometimes what's going to happen before it happens based on what the defense does, and you know the adjustments that a quarterback in the offense is going to make. So some things never change. But, you know, there's purists that don't want to see anything change, and I respect that, because at the beginning of all this NIL stuff and moving away from the Pac-12 conference and that type of deal. I was a little bit worried about that because it just was, it just felt so good. But I got to tell you, last year as part of the Big Ten conference and where this program has come and where this athletic department has come and that type of deal, I think it's just, it's remarkable and it's just really great to be part of it. And again, like I told you before, I'm really thankful to work with people like Jerry and others over time that we've had a chance to work with. It's been a lot of fun, and it's going to be a lot of fun this year. There's a lot to look forward to.
Well, good luck, you know, with the ice cream and being next to Jerry. You guys, what a marriage that has been. I mean,
we've had a ball.
For those of us, you know, I've grown up in this state. I was a McMinnville kid, you know, growing up and listening to both Ducks and Beavs games as far back as I can remember. So we're uniquely blessed, I think, to have Jerry and Georgie on the Oregon side and Mike Parker on the Oregon State side to be delivering the audio product of our respective institutions on the football field for decades. Like this longevity is incredible. So we're blessed to have you, Georgie. Thanks for making time for us on the radio show today, and have a great week one next week with Montana State in town.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thanks for having me on. Hope to see you soon.
Yeah, you as well. Appreciate it. Mike Jorgensen, Duck quarterback, longtime radio analyst. Good stuff there. We'll bounce a break and come back, unpack some of those comments, plus Spencer McLaughlin in the final hour of the show as well. Jude Anubi, Stephen Vaughn filling in here on the Bald-Faced Truth, 750 The Game and the BFT Radio Network.